Good morning from 58 WCHS, the voice of Charleston. I'm Rick Johnson. Our producer's Anthony Harmon. It's the last Monday of September, and our phone number here on 58 WCHS for Ask the Expert with Kanawha Pastoral Counseling is 345-5858. 345-5858 on WCHS. And with us for a return visit. She liked it so much the first time she said, hey, I got to get back on that radio thing. Is Sabrina Rawlins. She is a licensed professional counselor at the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi.
Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Now, normally we would have Jeannie Kay with us, but unfortunately, Jeannie's not able to be with us this morning, so it's just me and thee.
I know.
A little nervous?
Yes. I miss her.
Well, you know, I tell you what, we're just going to plow ahead, as they say, and take one step at a time. And I tell you what. When you were here last time, I remember we had a really good discussion about families and things, and we're going to keep that going this morning. And if the listener has any questions about family counseling you'd like to ask on the air, our phone number is 345-5858. The Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center, the main office is located at First Presbyterian Church. Now, is that where you primarily hang your hat?
Yes, that's my office there.
Okay, what are your hours?
Basically, I'm pretty flexible, but I do offer after school and after work hours, afternoon, early evening, and I do some late morning ones as well.
Okay, and the number, the phone number to get in touch with the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center is 304-205-WELL. That's 304-205-WELL. You can find them online at kpcc.com. And there are other locations around the area as well. We have Trinity Lutheran Church on the Boulevard, Christ Church United Methodist on Courier Street, Cabin Creek Health Center, which is Cabin Creek Road, and River Valley Health and Wellness Center on Washington Street in Ravenswood. Ample free parking at all locations. And, hey, when's the last time you heard that?
I know.
So there you go. And again, we invite your call this morning on the air, 304-345-5858. Sabrina will be very happy to answer any question you have. And, you know, as we get back, thinking about this, we're back into school now. And we've been back in school for 5 weeks or so.
Something like that.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
And so the adjustments are probably settling in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the routine is being established now.
Mm-hmm.
And for some, they're probably thinking, yeah, so what? I feel like I'm drowning.
Exactly.
Here. The families have so many responsibilities with kids in school, and you have the young kids and they have certain responsibilities.
Right.
The older kids in middle school and high school, you think, well, they have a little more independence. They can kind of take care of themselves.
Mm.
Yeah. Being the parent of those levels a few years ago, I can say, Not so fast. So, I mean, probably, what would you say with families now, their kids going back in school,
mm-hmm.
what would you say are some of the challenges that they face?
Well, I think the number one challenge is time. Time is a very valuable commodity. And once children are back in school, and usually both parents are working outside the home, and everyone's trying to get somewhere in the morning on time, and then they have after school activities, and time is just a challenge all the way around.
And the time is the time that you can spend with your family.
Yes.
Just as a family.
Yes.
And have a little family time.
Right.
Because when you think of homework and you think of the extracurricular activities the kids, of course, get into.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember as a parent, and when my kids were at home, it seems like the parents always want their kids involved in so many things. We think that's we want them to do the things that we didn't do.
Exactly.
And before you know it, you've overloaded your kids.
Right. I have a lot of children and teens who will sit in my office and say, I am so tired. I don't want to do any more. But I can't quit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not allowed to quit.
Yeah.
I can't do this.
So they feel the pressure.
They do feel the pressure. At first, it's fun. It's exciting. But then about October and so later, I start to see people saying, I can't do this anymore.
And you know what? I think at times it can be as practical as their backpacks.
Yes.
I saw I've seen kids with those backpacks on. They look like mules.
I know.
Because the backpacks have to be 20, 30 pounds or more.
Exactly.
And you can just tell they're laboring to get down the street with this pack of stuff on their back.
Yes.
What have we done to these kids?
We've stressed them out.
We have. I mean, that's in a way, it's sort of an analogy of what's going on in their lives.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so we need to sort of maybe empty the backpack a little bit.
I like that analogy. I like that.
So how do we begin? What's the first step, I wonder?
Well, when we think of the challenges in school, I mean, there's all kinds, of course. There's the academics, then there's the social scene, which creates the bullying. We get into drug use and substance use and gangs and sexual activity and all sorts of things through the relationships. But the one thing that I would like to say is the one thing that can really help in all of those issues is for to have a child who is confident and competent. They feel confident in themselves, but they also feel competent at something in their life. And to do that requires some time from the parents and some time with the parents and kids together. And I think that is the foundation of all the other issues, or it can be to help with all the other issues.
So to be confident and then to be competent in something. So we're kind of looking for something that child feels that they are capable and competent in doing.
Yes. And sometimes that's academics. Sometimes it is a sport. Sometimes it's art or music or something else. But to find something that child is good in and likes to do, and that can build that self-worth and that confidence level in them. And if they have that confidence, they're going to be less likely to be the victim of a bully. Not 100%, of course, but less likely. They're going to be less likely to feel they need to fill that void in their life with alcohol or drugs, and are going to be less likely to look to relationships as just a fast thing and involving sexual activity and so on. So all those are going to be affected by a child's self-worth and competence level.
Sabrina Rollins is with us. She is a counselor with the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. If you want to talk to her on the air this morning, ask a question. Our phone number is 304-345-5858. Perhaps you and your family are having a really difficult time with school now well underway and finding time for the family to be a family. There's probably gobs of homework to be done. We talked about that earlier.
Yes.
That's just one of those things that is... Again, I don't understand it. Why do kids have so much homework?
I agree. I am a former teacher, so I do understand the pressures that teachers are under. They have pressures to perform as well, and material to cover, and sometimes the classes just don't allow the time again to cover all that they need to cover, and so therefore here comes the homework. Now, I do think sometimes homework is assigned just as a busy time activity, but sometimes it can be very valuable. But when you have 2, 3, 4 hours of homework every night, there is no family time. There is no after school activity, or one of them's going to suffer, either the after school activity or the academics or the family.
Yeah. And I heard something this morning coming in on the radio, which sort of parallels this a little bit, that many teachers quit within the first 5 years of teaching, they've just decided that it's just, I don't know why, there's an overarching reason why they walk away from it, but there is a lot of stress on teachers.
Yes.
To perform.
Absolutely.
And, when you talk about bullying, that's one of those subjects that, where does a bully learn to be a bully? That's what I want to know. Because you can see... America's Funniest Home Videos, they'll have sometimes little kids up on stage or little kids in the classroom playing, but you see this one little kid who just comes over and just takes and yanks something from another kid or shoves that kid down. Can we have a bullying situation at any age?
Yes, you can. Absolutely. From the kindergartner, all the way up to the high school age where it gets dangerous. Physically dangerous, even. But even in grade school, children can hit each other and so on. But it can get a lot more dangerous in the secondary schools.
Yeah, I remember I was in the third grade. There was a bully. There was a bully, and it was just like I was the target, the constant target of bullying by this one person. And I, to this day, don't know why.
Yeah.
I was rather small.
Okay.
Physically. And it seems like the kid who is the smallest kid in class, especially the boy, is going to get some picking on and could be the target of bullying.
Yeah. Actually, we kind of find any child who looks or behaves in a little different way than the majority, say, because that scares other kids. And so they feel insecure anyway. And then when they see somebody else acting or looking a little different, they're not sure of what's going on there. And they're often picked on. So that can be a physical difference, or it can be the way a person talks. It can be their upbringing, culture. It can be lots of things that make them a little different.
What should a parent look for? What are the signs parents should look for in their kids that their kids might be bullying? And I think many times a kid doesn't tell their parents.
Right. Absolutely.
They just live with it. But there has to be some signs.
Yes. Probably the number one sign is just a resistance in going to school. All of a sudden, they're not liking school, or they're not liking to ride the bus, or they're not liking this particular activity. And they don't know why, or they won't tell you why. They might become more withdrawn, and you might see them appearing to be sad or anxious. And so those are things to really look for. And you want to really try to talk with them about these things if you can.
And if the parent is able to determine that their child is being bullied, what's the next step for the parent?
Well, I do think, first of all, it is communication with the child. Find out what's happening as best you can. You know, what is happening? What has the child already tried as far as solving the problem?
Mm-hmm.
And has an adult been involved? Have they talked to a teacher or a counselor at school? Most of the time, not. They haven't. And if they have, unfortunately, it doesn't always solve the problem, and sometimes it makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I would first find out all the information, and I would document anything that might get really serious. Like if we're talking about secondary school students and they are being bullied online, then you have some documentation there that you can keep. And then you can take that information to the teacher or to the school principal or the school counselor and say, this is what's happening, and we need to find a way to deal with this together as a team.
There was a time in America when if your child was being bullied by another child down the street and they all went to the same school, there was a time in America when the father of the family would say, go down there and you take care of that kid.
Right.
You know, don't let him do that to you.
Yeah.
I would certainly not advocate that.
Yeah.
But there was also back in time when the parents would get to, I mean, if I felt like my child was being bullied by the kid down the street, I would at least talk to the parents to say, look, I don't know if you know this or not, but we seem to have an issue here and a problem.
Right.
I don't know if that's the way to work it out these days or not.
Well, I think that time may still be here.
Really?
Because I think it can work out great if both sets of parents are trying to keep, you know, in the forefront the best for the kids and not trying to help their child win, whatever the issue is. But we still see parents who are getting into arguments and fights because of kids' behavior. And we see parents not conducting themselves in a way that they would want their children to by going to that parent and, you know, cussing and causing all kinds of a scene. So oftentimes parents don't make it better either.
But I guess there are times when the parent of the bully doesn't even know that their kid is a bully.
Sure.
And they're shocked.
Absolutely.
Because the kid doesn't seem to have that kind of behavior around the house.
Right. That does happen.
So it is a difficult situation, to say the least.
Yes.
And it only gets worse as they get older?
I think it gets more severe. I mean, in grade school, you might get some teasing, some physical stuff on the playground, maybe. But as the kids get a little bit older, and even girls, even in grade school, older grade school, will start ostracizing. That is the way girls bully.
They shun.
And they gossip and spread rumors about each other. And that is so damaging to a child. And that just continues even more into junior and senior high.
Wow. With us is Sabrina Rollins from the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. If you'd like to talk to Sabrina at the center or anyone at the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center, it's 304-205-WELL. That's the number for the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center, 304-205-WELL. We're back in a moment on Ask the Expert on WCHS.
WCHS!
Listen to Joe Manchin supporting Obama's health care plan.
I'm behind that. I am totally behind health care reform, and it has to happen sooner or later.
Say it ain't so, Joe. You're totally behind the $400 billion in Medicare cuts that will affect our seniors?
I'm behind that. I am totally behind health care reform.
And you support a plan that will create a bigger government and raise our taxes to pay for it?
I'm behind that.
In fact, this coming January 1, the Obamacare taxes kick in, Joe, putting the squeeze on employers, small business owners, families, and seniors all over.
I'm behind that. I am totally behind health care reform.
Sorry, Joe. Our seniors can't afford you to be a rubber stamp for Barack Obama.
I'm John Racy, and I approve of this message because I will be the senator who won't be a rubber stamp for Barack Obama. The only one I'll serve is you.
Paid for by the Racy for Senate Committee.
Beware of any company that promises to erase all your debts for pennies on the dollar. They may actually make your situation worse. Recently, one West Virginia family paid a debt settlement company a hefty fee to help get them out of debt. Yet months later, their debts had increased, penalties and interest had been added, and their home was in danger of being sold. The debt settlement company hadn't told them about the other, better options available. Before taking any action that may damage your financial future, please consult with an attorney. You'll receive an unbiased evaluation of your situation and learn of all the options available. This message is brought to you by the West Virginia State Bar in partnership with the Consumer Protection Division of the West Virginia Attorney General's Office. For more information, call the Attorney General's hotline at 1-800-368-8808. That's 1-800-368-8808.
Are you looking for spectacular motorcycle rides? Then Pocahontas County is the place for you. Get your ride rolling as you snake through the twisties, climbing over ridges, and ascending to the valley floor. Take in the fresh air as you pass beautiful mountain vistas, beautiful farmland, as well as historic sites. An endless path of curves, mountains, and tranquility await you in Pocahontas County. Call or click today for your free touring map, PocahontasCountyWV.com, or 800-336-7009. West Virginia, wild and wonderful.
Are you or someone you know caring for an aging parent or loved one? Rite Aid Giving Care for Parents, a video-based online education center, can help make those important decisions for your aging loved ones with confidence. It's a free service of West Virginia Radio Corporation. Just go to 58WCHS.com and click on the Rite Aid Giving Care for Parents link. You'll find tips and information on ways you can best provide better quality of life for an aging parent or relative. To learn more and to access Rite Aid Giving Care for Parents Caregiver Resource Center, go to 58WCHS.com.
If you own your own business or oversee your company's employee benefits program, you know all too well about the skyrocketing cost and hassles of administration. There's a locally owned company dedicated to saving you money and easing the headaches. It's Garlow Insurance. With decades of experience and an unparalleled commitment to providing tailored solutions to your needs, Garlow is the name. Garlow Insurance. Local people, national perspectives. Serving your employee benefits, workers' comp, and insurance needs at 347-8972.
WCHS, the voice of Charleston, Ask the Expert with Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. Here in Charleston, the main office is located in First Presbyterian Church on Leon Sullivan Way, but there are other outlets for the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center, Trinity Lutheran Church on Kanawha Boulevard in Charleston, Christ Church United Methodist, also on Courier Street in Charleston, and we have the Cabin Creek Health Center, Cabin Creek Road, and River Valley Health and Wellness Center in Ravenswood. You can always go online, too, and get more information at kpcc.com. And coming up on Tuesday, October the 19th, it will be the 17th annual Jim Dent Dinner to benefit the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. That can't be.
I know.
That's 17 years, really? Seriously?
Seriously.
Wow. And, of course, the entertainment that evening by Taylor Mason. And I understand he's a really, really funny guy.
Yeah.
So if you want to get tickets, why not go online to Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. You can get your tickets there. It's the 17th annual Jim Dent Dinner, Tuesday, October 19th, 6 until 9 p.m., celebrating health and humor, a benefit for Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. And for more information, go to kpcc.org. Right?
Right.
No, kpcc.com.
I'm sorry, .com.
Sorry. You know, I know we're family is your emphasis,
right?
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you about this situation that we heard about last week. It's almost like when you think you've heard or you've seen everything,
mm-hmm.
there's always one other thing that comes along.
That's right.
And the chaining up of a dog on the railroad tracks.
Oh, yes. I heard about that.
And I don't know if they have found the person responsible for that or mm-hmm. not. Now, the dog obviously was rescued and
right.
nothing, no harm, no foul to the dog. In fact, mm-hmm. the dog is in a good home now.
Mm-hmm.
And the new owners, they're baffled because the dog was in great condition, mm-hmm. as if somebody had really been taking care of the dog.
Right.
And I don't know, my first thought was a young person, a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be wrong about that.
Mm-hmm.
But what kind of a world are we living in? Was the other thought I had.
Yeah.
That this is bizarre stuff.
Yeah.
And I know that younger people can get involved with hurting animals.
Yes.
And some people don't think that's a serious deal if they pull the tail or maybe get into something a little more graphic mm-hmm. with a dog or an animal. But I've also heard that that could be a precursor to someone who really mm-hmm. has some...
It definitely can be. It's a very serious thing when a child or a teenager is cruel to an animal. And we take that very seriously in the counseling world. It's also very closely connected with domestic violence and family violence in the home. So it can be seen together.
Okay.
And it's usually... The scary part of it is that it's showing a lack of empathy, that a person is not, maybe perhaps not able to feel empathy for someone else. And if they cannot feel that empathy, it's going to be very hard for them to live in a social world like we have in an acceptable way.
Yeah. Okay. A little side note there. Sabrina joins us. Sabrina Rollins, she is a licensed professional counselor with the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. And you said you were a former teacher?
Yes.
And now you do this, and mm-hmm. you work with families, and we're talking about back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the families right now are just not able to carve out time because mm-hmm. there are so many demands.
Yes.
Where do you begin? I mean, to be practically speaking, does the family sit down over the weekend with the calendar for the week coming up
mm-hmm.
and just kind of go around the table, okay, what do you got, what do you got, what do you got,
mm-hmm.
and lay it all out and go, okay, something's got to go here
mm-hmm.
because we want – do you – Sam? Do you set a family night or try mm-hmm. to? Or?
I think that's excellent. And I always encourage that with my families. And I find a lot of families find like Sunday afternoon, late afternoon, early evening. Usually the weekend activities are coming to an end and families back together a little bit, relaxing. And if you can make that family time, even if it's a half hour, if you can just make that a routine in the family, it almost becomes a ritual and a memory for the children. And you make it fun, but you also make it productive. And I do recommend having a family calendar and a large one, write on, wipe off one, and give each child, each person in the family a different color marker and pass it around and everybody write down what their schedule is that week and then talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, because parents have to know, how's so-and-so going to get here? How are they going to get home? Can we go to this game? Can we go to that, mm-hmm. that recital and talk about it? But not to end there with the meeting, but to talk about lots of things in their lives. And then at the end, do a fun activity together, whether it's play a board game or make homemade sundaes or something.
There's just an infinite number of things.
Yes. You just have to be creative and think outside the box. And also to take advantage of the little pockets of time that we end up with. You're driving your child to an activity. That's an excellent time to talk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're not having to look at you directly, and mm-hmm. it seems to help.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Bedtime is another good time. Lights are out. Kids are more likely to talk for some reason. So just find those pockets. And if you can maintain that connection with them, then when they have to come and talk about bullies or something else, they're going to feel a little safer and more at ease at talking with you about it.
What are some of the things, I mean, you know, I mean, that you see in your practice? I mean, what are there with families and with this issue of time with families and now with school 5 or 6 weeks into that? I mean, are you seeing results of that on a negative, on the negative side?
On all the activities?
Yeah.
Yes, yes, I do. I see a very much increased stress in the children and teens, and well, parents too. And eventually they end up not really enjoying anything they're doing and not really caring.
And what do you do? And this is, I think, one of the toughest things for a parent, speaking personally, is when your kid comes to you and says, I want to quit soccer.
Yeah.
What? No, you don't. No, you don't. You're just having a bad day.
Right.
And the parents don't want to give it up.
Right.
The
yeah.
kid has gotten to a point where the kid realizes, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yes. Yes.
What do you do?
Well, I think that's where in the beginning of the year, as close as you can, if parents and kids can come to an agreement first, how many activities am I going to be able to participate in? And then choose those wisely and let the child have the, as far as the major decision as to what activity. We know that, you know, it's an old joke about parents living through their kids, you know, their sports. And, you know, maybe I couldn't be a big football player, but my child can, you know, or that kind of thing. And so we want to watch that. We want to check that in ourselves and really ask ourselves, you know, is it my desire here that this child learn how to play piano? Or is it because I always wanted to and didn't
get
the chance?
Is it about me or is it about my son
Absolutely,
or daughter?
Absolutely, right. And then, now, some families do have a no-quit rule. And that is, if you start those music lessons, you're going to finish them, okay? And there is some value in that. And there are plenty of adults now who say, I'm glad my parents never let me quit something. But you also want to look at the whole picture and see how many activities they're in. And is this really, I mean, when you try a new instrument or you try a new sport or activity, child doesn't know yet if they're going to really like it or be somewhat talented in it. And so you give them a little bit of an opportunity that if this doesn't work out, okay, maybe you can quit one thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But you also want to encourage them to persevere if they can.
So if they start out with, let's say it's soccer.
Right.
And you have that conversation before soccer season
right.
begins.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be acceptable to say, look, I'm going to give you a 2-week period when we first start.
Mm-hmm.
That's your 2 weeks to say, I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no questions asked. We're out.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get past that 2-week period, then I want you to finish the season.
Mm-hmm. I think that's reasonable because it's also teaching them about the team and how you know, the combined effort of the team is important and the loyalty and so on. So there is value, as I said. But if they're overloaded with other things, something may have to go.
And probably would you if your son or daughter comes to you and says, I want to quit whatever sport, pick a sport.
Mm-hmm.
And many times a parent automatically thinks, oh, but you're so good at it.
Yeah.
You're so good. You're a natural. Why? Maybe ask... Why? Why do you want to quit?
Absolutely, because there could be some bullying going on in that activity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely could be.
Mm-hmm.
Many times that's where bullying does happen.
Right,
it
does. Yeah. A lot of hazing goes on in the sports.
So try to get to the root cause.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you figured it out with your kid, well, I just don't want to do it. I'm tired of it. I don't know. You're saying if there's a commitment there, you should keep it.
Well, you have to make a judgment call on everything, of course. And again, I would just look at the whole picture. And are they involved in some other things that they like a lot better? And then let them be that. You know, it's okay.
Or you could say, look, let's go talk to Sabrina. And it's whatever she says.
Oh, okay.
Do they try to draw you in?
They do.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
You become the referee.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. 345-5858 is our number on the air. Is that fair to put you in the middle?
It's all right.
Sabrina Rollins is with us. She's with the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center here in Charleston. If you'd like to talk to Sabrina in the office, you know, after we're finished here, her phone number is 304-205-WELL. And I think it's pretty amazing that you actually do have some after work hours as well.
Oh, yes. I wouldn't be able to see children and teens if I didn't, because taking them out of school can become problematic. I mean, sometimes we have to do that if it's serious enough. But hopefully we can avoid that.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. So give Sabrina a call if you and your family are being stretched because of school and all these other things that go with school and extracurricular activities. You can't find any time to be a family. Give her a call at the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. It is 304-205-WELL. Back with Sabrina in just a moment on WCHS.
WCHS!
My name's Nick, and I'm a doer, which is probably why I started my own landscaping business. I specialize in plant-driven design. I do azaleas. I do lavender shrubs. One thing I don't do, sales and promotional materials.
My name's Alex, and I work at the UPS store helping doers like Nick do whatever it is they do or don't do, like color sales brochures, laminated promotional materials, even professionally printed business cards. They just swing by the store or upload their files online, and I take it from there.
Looks like logistics helped me win another piece of business. Yeah, hey, that's Nick.
Doers love logistics. That's why they love the printing and finishing services at the UPS store. Participation, prices, and hours vary by location. See theupsstore.com/print for full details.
Visit the UPS store and our friendly staff will help take care of all your copying and printing needs. And right now, we are offering 29-cent color copies. Visit theupsstore.com to find your participating location in Charleston or South Charleston today.
Attention, West Virginia. There's big news from Moses Factory Outlet, home of the giant tent sale.
That's right. Moses Factory Outlet has announced the September sellout with incredible price reductions on every vehicle in stock.
They've all got to go to make room for new shipments. Only West Virginia's largest factory outlet has over 1,000 quality used vehicles in stock to choose from at drastically reduced prices for this incredible one-time only sale.
The September sellout sale is going on now until the last vehicle is sold. Hurry in today for the best selection and the lowest prices right here under the giant tent.
And remember, the home of the giant tent sale is the home of no problem financing. And every vehicle comes with a free Carfax report.
The September sellout happens just once a year, and an opportunity to save like this will not be repeated.
Be sure to stop by Moses Factory Outlet today and register to win a $1,000 gift card to Dick's Sporting Goods. No purchase necessary.
Remember, the September sellout is happening now until the last vehicle is sold.
So hurry in today for the best selection.
It's only at Moses Factory Outlet in Taze Valley and Moses Factory Outlet on Corridor G.
Home of the giant tent sale.
When you learn you're going to have a baby, it's an exciting time and there's a lot to do. Of course, you want the best for your baby, so consider getting the best furniture for your baby. At Pew Furniture, we're expanding our baby furniture department to make our selection even bigger and better. And the quality? Solid wood, real furniture with sturdy construction to meet the highest standards. Yours. Our solid wood cribs will convert to a toddler bed, then to a full-size bed. So regardless of what stage your child is in, you have the right bed. You'll find quality name brands like Childcraft, Westwood, Legacy, and Lee. Plus, you get Pew Furniture's lowest price guarantee. Right now, get a select crib mattress for half price with a qualified purchase. Come on into Pew Furniture Warehouse Showrooms, where it's better quality furniture at prices you want to pay. 1320 Smith Street in Charleston's Furniture District, open 7 days a week.
Anxiety is a normal reaction to stress. It helps one deal with a tense situation in the office, study harder for an exam, keep focused on an important speech. But when anxiety becomes an excessive irrational dread of everyday situations, it has become a disabling disorder. Examples include panic disorder, social phobia, or acute stress disorder. Highland Treatment Team can help you unlock the grip of anxiety. Call Highland, 304-348-1436. Highland can help.
When news happens in the capital city, you'll hear about it first on 58 WCHS. With a staff of local news veterans relying on more than 60 years of combined hands-on news experience, you can depend on WCHS. From the latest national and local news on the hour to breaking news at any moment, we've got you covered. At home, at work, or in the car, make WCHS your number one preset for news, talk, and sports. 58 WCHS, the voice of Charleston.
58 WCHS, the voice of Charleston. It is Ask the Expert with the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. And you can find them online at kpcc.com. You can call them as well, of course, at 304-205-WELL. That's 205-WELL. And I know one of the questions we get many times from listeners, because it is the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center, do you have to be religious?
Absolutely not.
You can bring your faith if you like.
Absolutely. It's totally voluntary. I tell my clients I don't preach to them or try to convert them to anything. It's just if they want to use any spiritual resources they have.
And with us is Sabrina Rollins. She's a licensed professional counselor with the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. Let's remind everyone again that coming up on Tuesday, October the 19th, it is the 17th annual Jim Dent Dinner, celebrating health and humor, a benefit for Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. You can purchase your tickets online or make a contribution if you like. Either way, just go to kpcc.com, kpcc.com. The special entertainment for the evening will be comedian Taylor Mason, who I understand is an absolute riot.
Yes, yes, he's good.
So that's going to be a great evening. The Jim Dent Dinner is October the 19th to benefit the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. Phone number on the air for us, 345-5858, 304-345-5858. Sabrina noted we haven't had a call this morning, and she said just in the same breath, they're all busy getting kids in and out of school. Probably true, you know?
It's true.
Boy, I tell you what, you have school now in session for 5 or 6 weeks. You have probably, in many homes, two parents working.
Right.
And it's a frazzled situation.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Even in the best of homes.
Yes, that's true.
And we're talking about finding time for the family in this hectic time and time for homework. And if you think your child is really getting too much homework, night after night after night, you sense a trend.
Yes.
And it's not a good one. What should you do as the parent?
Well, I think communication with the teachers is vital. And in fact, studies show that the more parents communicate with the teachers and are involved in the school in some way, the better the students do. And sometimes teachers may not realize how much time it is taking to do the homework they're assigning. And when you're in secondary schools and you multiply that by 7 classes, then, you know, you've got quite a bit. But and also just finding out, is your child having so much homework because they're not doing work in the classroom itself, you know, during the time? A lot of teachers give time to start on your homework. Or are they getting behind because, and they're bringing home stuff they're getting behind in? One, either because they don't understand it and they're not following it, or two, they're not behaving in class enough to be able to understand it. Mm-hmm. So you want to check out all the information first and then ask the teachers for some help with that.
At what level do you think it's okay to let the child, the student, if you're the parent, maybe craft their own homework schedule for the evening, if you know what I mean?
Well, I think that's great from kindergarten on. I mean, even kindergartners come home with little books to try to read or spelling words and things. And if you can, again, it takes some time, but if you can have a routine where the kids and you sit down in the evening and say, okay, what do you have to do tonight? How much time do you think that will take? What do you think? What do you need to work on? You know, when's that project you talked about? And when is it due? And just lead them with some questions so that they can try to think for themselves. And that will serve them well in the secondary classes as well.
Let's say you have a secondary student, and let's say you have a child that's in high school.
Okay.
Maybe a junior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he or she is on the, again, pick a team. Let's say they're on the basketball team.
Okay.
But their grades are just high enough that they are eligible by that much to be playing basketball, and you're really concerned as a parent,
right.
And you're thinking, well, if it wasn't for basketball and the practice and all that, your grades might be better, so I'm just going to have to take you off the team.
Yeah.
Is that a good move?
Not always, because sometimes if a child, especially a child who may not be particularly academic-oriented, that basketball team may be keeping them there and giving them enough of an outlet to keep them a little bit motivated anyway to stay with their grades. And so sometimes taking them off is not a good idea. Another reason sometimes it's not a good idea is sometimes a teenager needs a particular physical outlet. Especially a child or teen who has a lot of energy and perhaps maybe in the hyperactive category, you know, having some type of a physical activity is a necessity. It's not really a luxury for them. And so I would not do it in those cases at all. If you knew your child could get A's and they were getting C's because of basketball, or they're just not trying, I would really have a serious talk with them and find out again what they think the problem is. Not in a critical way from the parent, but what do you think it is? And then see if you can't come up with a solution for that.
Have you run across students who didn't do very well? I mean, they just kind of slid by and got through doing the bare minimums through high school, junior high, middle school, high school. But when they got to college, that's when the epiphany happened.
Yeah. I should have listened back then.
But then they, I don't know what it is. I've talked to a few who said, you know, it was my freshman year in college when I realized, well, I think they realized, okay, this is now on me.
Yeah.
If I don't get it.
Right.
If I flunk out, then nobody's going to come knocking on my door. There will be no parent-teacher conferences. It'll be done.
That's right.
But
the,
and
right.
they thrived in college.
Yeah, yeah.
They kind of grew up after they stopped not growing up or something.
Sometimes it just takes that firsthand experience for a student to learn. And then sometimes they really struggle in college because they didn't get the basics in high school. So, but at some point in their 20s, they're going to realize that I need to straighten up here and take this seriously.
If you have a question for us on the air with Sabrina Rollins, she is a licensed professional counselor with the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. Give us a call online or on the air at 345-5858, 345-5858. You can also talk to Sabrina or any of the counselors in the office at Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. Their number, very simple, is 205-WELL. That's 304-205-WELL. And you can find them online, too, at kpcc.org.
Com.
Hey, I keep saying org. That's why you're here, Sabrina.
Okay.
One of the reasons. KPCC.com is the website. A lot of good information on there. You can get more information about the Jim Dent dinner coming up on October the 19th, which is a Tuesday evening from 6 until 9. It is a big fundraiser for the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. On the air for your question, 304-345-5858. You see a lot of teenagers?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I don't know if we can ask this question, but is there a theme, sort of a thread that runs through some of their angst these days?
Well, I think it's the common ones that people would think of. A lot of the social stuff, again, it can be bullying, it can be feelings of low self-worth. That can run from, mild to suicidal thoughts. And then, of course, there can be substance abuse coming into the picture. Any varied things, someone gets pregnant or is failing classes. I mean, there's all sorts of themes for that. Family problems, that's another big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Divorce when their kids are older.
Sure.
I've known someone who's they're in their 20s and their parents are divorcing. And it's, and this person's having a really, really struggle with that.
Yeah, I don't care how old you are. Yeah.
I think I'm almost thinking when you're really, really small, you're not quite sure what's going on. And maybe you have some time in your life to heal. But if you're in your 20s and your parents are divorcing, you're like, has the world gone upside down?
I know. It can really turn their life upside down.
Let's go to the phone, 304-345-5858. And we have Linda joining us from Charleston. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. You were discussing the child that... goes through high school and does okay, here's the circumstances, gets the promise scholarship, goes to one semester of college and just drops. And it is, she hasn't picked up on it yet, and this is the second college year she would have been in if she had stayed in.
Uh-huh.
And my concern, which I explained to her, was the longer you wait, the harder it is to go back. And she puts up a wall and just says, I don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at a loss as to how to approach this. I try to stay calm and say, as a grandmother, there are a lot of different programs out there for individuals between the ages of 18 and 21 that you can take advantage of.
Right.
You don't want to go to college or university per se, but don't wait too long because those opportunities will be gone if you wait too long.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, good point, Linda.
I am at a what I call an impasse with her, but I'm still trying to hold open communication with love.
Uh-huh. Good.
I think she's found the answer.
I have to. My spiritual background leads me to that.
Uh-huh.
And so right now what I'm trying to do is give her space, give her time to come to grips with it herself, because there have been upheaval in her life all around her. Okay. Emotionally, spiritually, and so and when you said, and she's even went to one counseling session, but doesn't mm-hmm. go back again.
Yeah.
So my question is, from your point of view, is that show that she's just not ready to come to grips with it?
Yes.
Even want to face it?
Well, I think that it definitely shows that there's something going on in her life or mind that maybe you haven't found out yet. And sometimes it's as little as just not feeling confident enough to take on the college classes, to not knowing what they want to do in life yet, and feeling kind of out there in the middle of the ocean. If there has been some emotional or family things going on, like you're indicating, then I would take that into consideration as well. But on the other hand, I do applaud you being keeping that open communication and with love. You also may want to talk with her about a timeline. And we don't want to enable our young adults to stay in a situation that they can't be self-supportive or get an education or a job skill. But at the same time, we don't want to just, you know, turn them out into the street. But so I would work with her with a timeline as, you know, if you could do anything in the world with no limits and you knew you couldn't fail at it and it didn't matter how much it cost, what would you want to do with your life? You know, ask questions like that. That gets their, you know, her imagination going. And then help her find a way to take a little step towards that goal, whatever that is, little at a time. And then eventually, and also I'm not sure if she is, you know, working at a job of her own, or I'm not sure how, you know, supporting she is right now. You want to take that into consideration, that, you know, she does need to be doing something, in my opinion.
You know, it could be something, don't let me step in and be the counselor.
That's okay.
But I'm thinking that maybe if you want to suggest to your, if I had a child like that, well, maybe a two-year college.
Uh-huh.
Try a two-year college.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and see if that might work for you.
Right.
It's a little shorter period of time.
Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. You like that?
I do like that.
Sabrina likes it. We're back in a moment with Sabrina Rollins. And Linda, thank you for your call, and we do wish you and your family the very best. We're back in a moment on 58
WCHS.
Where is your West Virginia? Unmatched outdoor recreation, fascinating heritage, and legendary hospitality make West Virginia the perfect escape. There's so much to see, do, and experience, also close to home. Here are some of the events taking place right now in the Mountain State. It's the 10th anniversary of the West Virginia Book Festival, October 16th and 17th at the Charleston Civic Center. See our star-studded lineup that includes New York Times best-selling authors Nicholas Sparks and Diana Gabaldon, Civil War historian Dr. James Robertson, children's author Carmen Deedy, and West Virginia native Jane Ann Phillips. 15 authors will present readings and workshops. Other components include a giant used book sale, the festival marketplace, and a children's area with hands-on activities. For more information, visit wvbookfestival.org. West Virginia's mountain splendor is waiting for you, so why not discover the West Virginia your whole family will love? For more information on these and other events, call 800-CALL-WVA or visit wvtourism.com. West Virginia, wild and wonderful.
We are just about out of time, about another minute remaining with Sabrina Rollins this morning from the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. Don't forget, you can join them online at kpcc.com. Also, get more information online. You can even buy your tickets online to the 17th annual Jim Dent Dinner, which is Tuesday, October the 19th from 6 until 9 p.m. And it's going to be a fun evening with comedian host Taylor Mason. Sabrina, thanks for being here. It's always a delight to have you here.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Did the hour go by fast?
It did. It did.
We're done now.
Okay.
That's Sabrina Rollins. You can reach her at the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center at 304-205-WELL. And I'm Rick Johnson on 58 WCHS.